Thanks for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. Our hope is that it helps you discover completeness in Jesus. Now for this week's teaching.
Hello, my friends. I get to look at this. This is no good. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you enjoyed your snow day last week and that you took advantage of some snowball fights and hot cocoa and watching us make a fool of ourselves on Instagram Live. But we missed seeing you guys, and so glad that we get to be back tonight. So the last 3 months of my life have looked pretty different than what I would have just imagined a November, December, January in the Midwest would look like. If you attend Christ Church on Sundays, you may have heard that the Joplin area was getting a lot of refugees from Afghanistan in, and there were opportunities to be on teams to help welcome them and assimilate them and really just help them get to where they need to go before they had a driver's license and all that stuff. So I jumped in with a family and I was like, don't really know what to expect. There was some training involved of like what to do and not to do when you're hanging out with them and around them. And so I was like, okay, got it. Great. It'll be fine. Show up the first day, knock on their door. I'm waiting and waiting to go inside. They answer the door and immediately I get nervous and I'm like, I don't know how to say hello. I forgot how to say hello. So I'm just like, I hope waving is okay. And they graciously invite me in and they're like, would you like tea? And I'm like, yes, I would love tea. So I sit down on the floor with them and I'm like eating all of this delicious fruits and pistachios and drinking tea. And I was like, all right, now we begin. Like, what do I say? And so just kind of fumbled through like using gestures, using a translate app and trying to become friends with this family. And I'm sitting there and it's like super warm in their house also because it's freezing here. So I'm talking like 80 degrees. So the whole time that I'm like a little nervous of like not trying to do anything wrong, I'm also just sweating, not because I'm nervous, but because it's 80 degrees in their house. And so I'm hanging out with them and I'm like, I took my shoes off. I'm sitting cross-legged and I'm like, hope my feet don't stink. Like, hope I don't have food in my teeth. Hope I don't spill this tea all over me. All of these things. But it was great. It was great. And about approximately 8 hours later, I left. And I'm not kidding. 8 hours is how long I spent there and basically how long I spend there every weekend. And I say that to say, I thought I could be a pretty like relaxed person. I love being around people, but I also love sitting on my couch like all day and like reading or trying to be crafty or watching Netflix. And so I was like, I'm not the best at having patience and like just ceasing all doing. But I was like, I feel like I'm pretty good. But the number one thing that being friends with these people who have come and befriended me into their family has taught me is that I am not good at resting. Because I would start to think like, okay, what time is it? Like I need to get going so they can start making dinner. And I'm like, all right, I think I'm going to leave. And they're like, no, you stay for dinner. You can't leave. And they're like blocking the door. And I'm like, it's been 4 hours already. And now I love it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here all day. Like I'm not leaving. But there for a while, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is taking a lot more time than I expected. But as they've taught me about what hospitality means to them and how being hospitable to the friends that they have come into their house is really how they show love to them, I was like, oh, okay, so you are loving me and love takes time and I am just going to have to learn how to sit and not worry about going grocery shopping and all of these other things that I have to do. And so I don't know if something like that freaks you out. If you're like 8 hours of doing nothing when you're like, I have some other things I could do, but I'm just going to sit and literally just be at the mercy of where the conversation goes. And my guess is maybe you'd be great with that, but maybe sitting and resting and ceasing all work and doing is hard for you. Or at least it doesn't come naturally. And Like Tyler said, the first week that we started this series, we have been having conversations with you guys. What we want to do is we never want to get up here and be like, okay, here's how you follow Jesus. And it's all nothing that pertains to like actually what is going on right now. And we've just heard over and over, like he joked earlier, how are you? I'm good. How's life been? Good. Just busy. That is the constant refrain. And it's not just you guys. It's me too. Always. I'm like, good. Then I'm like, think of another word to say. What is it? I'm not busy. My schedule's full. And I'm like, that's a loophole. It doesn't even exist. It's the same thing. But what if there is a different and better way to live than to just have that be the natural refrain for the rest of our lives and the rest of our days? So if you have a Bible with you, it can be a physical Bible, it can be your phone, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. So this is the second time that the Ten Commandments are going to be told to the people of Israel, right? First time was a couple weeks ago in Exodus 20, and now we're in Deuteronomy 5, and God is going to go through the Ten Commandments once again. And then I want you to see if you can catch what has shifted in it, okay? Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Okay, this is where you get to talk. Don't be shy. Anyone notice anything different there? If you can remember past the snow day of Exodus 20. Anything that's different, yell it out. It can be wrong. It's kind of dark, so I can't even see who yelled it out, so I won't make fun of you. I promise. Anything different? Somebody say observe. That was awkward. I blocked this. Observe. Yeah, great. First word out of the gate, observe is different. So the first time God tells his people to remember the Sabbath, this time he says, observe it, participate in it. Anything else? Somebody on this side of the room say, he doesn't talk about creation. He doesn't talk about creation. Nice. You guys are geniuses. Yes. So Exodus 20, he says all about the Sabbath. He still says, you know, don't let your family work. Don't let your donkey and your ox work. None of your slaves, no foreigner living in your town. Like, remember the Sabbath and don't let them work, because this is how it was put into creation, for a day of rest. But here he doesn't say it. Instead, he says, verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, but God brought you out. So first time talking about Sabbath, he bases it in creation. 6 days of creating all that we know and see. Seventh day, rest. This time it's based in freedom. What if there is a different way to live? What if there is a way to live as free people instead as people who are enslaved? So the Israelite people, they came out of literal slavery in Egypt. I think that's one of the biggest like segments of Bible that we probably know if you've gone to VBS. I've tried this before in here to sing the Pharaoh song, and none of you have done it with me, but we're gonna try again tonight, okay? Anybody way back, maybe this is like my generation and not your guys's, but anybody, Madison's feeling it. Okay, you know what I'm about to do? The little Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Oh, baby, let my people go. And then there was like a jazz. Yeah. Yes. So we know we've talked about it a ton growing up, some of us. God's people were enslaved in Egypt under this menace man who was Pharaoh over the nation. And God comes to Moses in this miraculous, crazy bush that's on fire but not being burned up. And he says, Moses, you go and tell Pharaoh to free my people. And then Moses says, well, I'm not good at talking. So he's okay, I'll send your brother, but you're still going to go. And they go. And they're constant. They're like, Pharaoh, let the Israelites go so that they may sacrifice and worship their God. And he's like, no. And then over and over, no. Because, okay, Israelite slaves leave. Guess what happens to production of the bricks in Egypt? Big fat zero. Nothing happens. If Pharaoh sets his slaves free, then his best workers or his free labor doesn't do the work. Egypt was famous for, you know, I mean, we see it today, like all of these incredible buildings, the pyramids, and it was a country full of like material possessions and idols and all of this work, work, work. And so every time Moses and Aaron would go, Pharaoh would like chime in a little thing. So in Exodus 5, here's just a couple of things he would say about the people and not wanting them to be set free. Exodus 5:5, Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are numerous. There are so many people. Who's gonna stop them from working? Like, I want them to work. I want them to work for me. Verse 9, he says, make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to your lies, no attention to the false freedom that will come. 17 and 18, Pharaoh says, lazy. Anybody ever been called lazy? That feels good. Lazy, that's what these people are. That's why you keep asking, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You're not going to be given any straw, but you still must produce your full quota of bricks. These people were not only enslaved in a country that was not their own, but they were enslaved to work, to keep producing. There was no rest for slaves. People who are in slavery don't get to rest. And that's why part of the conflict was so strong. And then we know the story. Pharaoh's like, yeah, you can go. And then he's like, that was bad on my part. I'm going to go get him. And it doesn't end well for him. So these people are free. And God reminds them of what he's done. And he says, observe the Sabbath day. We joked that first week that sometimes it seems like these are like 9 commandments and a suggestion, right? Like, okay, I'm not going to have any idols. I'm going to honor my father and mother. Like, I'm not going to kill, but rest, I don't know if I want to do that. But God says, observe it, participate in it. Come be a part of this. Because why? Remember that you were once slaves, but now you are not any longer. And so you get to be free, and free people get to rest. Slaves do not get to rest. And so that's why when we talk about this idea of Sabbath or rest as resistance, resistance is just simply like the non-applying of, what am I even saying? Okay, I lost my words. It is not going along with what you're told. Okay, non-compliance. I'm not going to do that. So rest. I'm not going to give in to the slavery of work and to the incessant need to do more, to be better, to continue going, to wear my body and my bones thin by constantly working. But that is what is all around us. And so that is what becomes comfortable. And sometimes we don't even realize how we have been enslaved by this idea of constantly striving and working and being busy and filling our days to the brim, the last minute of every day, with things that do not actually bring us joy or bring us peace or are satisfying to our soul. But the opposite of like being hurried is moving at a slow pace, right? But how much do we like things that are slow? We don't. I'll answer for you. We don't. Raise your hand if you drive in here. If you've done the elusive parallel parking and you've passed and you've gotten your license. Okay, a lot of drivers in here. Picture this, we're on range line and we're driving and we see the light ahead of us is red, but oh, it turns green just as we come over that corner. We're faced with two decisions, right? There's a lane of 3 cars and a lane of 7 cars. Which lane are we gonna get in? The lane of 3 cars. Why? Because I don't want to go slow and be behind all these chumps. I want to make it through my green light. We don't like slow traffic. the best fast food restaurant in Joplin, no cap, I don't know if you guys still say that, is Chick-fil-A. We all know it. Even if you don't like chicken, we all know it. Why? Because they're fast. Have you ever decided that you want to try Popeyes? You've just been so curious about what's going on across the street that you've driven across the street to Popeyes to try their awesome chicken sandwich, only to have been met with a 15-minute wait in a one-lane drive-thru. And how annoying is that to wait for fast food? It doesn't make sense, right? We don't like slow fast food. Okay, anyone ever been on a little app called TikTok? What happens when you're somewhere like out here and the internet is in the city and not here, and you go to pull up your TikTok and the video's like, watch me how I make this salad. And then it dies and then it comes back and you're like, you've already made it halfway through the salad. What happened? And you have to wait for it to load and buffer. That's annoying. Or Netflix. When for some reason you've made it 10 minutes into your show, your first episode of Downton Abbey, and now it's stuck at 59% loading for 5 minutes. And you're like, I will never watch TV again in my entire life. We don't like slow, do we? If you really have a problem like me, maybe you're like about to die inside hearing any of those because you're like, I hate waiting on any of that. We don't like slow because slow has always had a negative connotation, right? The day was long, boring. Honey, how was your day? Slow. No one's ever like, Mom, my day was so slow. I enjoyed it so much. I got to breathe actually before I was running to my math class. It was awesome. That's just so countercultural to the world that we are living in. But what if there's a better way to live? And what if Jesus is the most intelligent person and he actually is right and he actually knows what that better way is? You saw a video of a beautiful pond. Thank you, Janice, for letting us use that. And my friend Greg reading from Matthew 11. I'm going to read it again. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to really hear each word from Matthew 11, the invitation of Jesus to this slow pace. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is the invitation of Jesus. And I don't know what invitation the world is telling you. Maybe it's inviting you to study for like 8 hours after you get home from an 8 hour plus a couple hours of practice day. And it's saying, you know, if you just work this hard on your algebra and your calculus, you'll get to be the best engineer ever and you'll get to make rocket ships. I don't know if that's the invitation the world is offering you. Or I don't know if the invitation is like, hey, you get this many hours in the pool and you're going to become the next Michael or Michaela Phelps and you're going to have gold so much that you can melt it and make a car out of it. I don't know what the invitation is that the world is offering you, but I bet it's not an invitation to slow down. And more so, it's an invitation to do more, to become more, so you can be happy, because everyone who has more is always happy. But Jesus says, put your yoke aside and take up mine. And what do I say it is? It's free and it's light. It's not enslaving, it's not heavy, it's not burdensome, it's not based on how good you perform or how many hours you put in, because I am gentle and lowly, I am accessible to you. So what if there's a better way to live, a way to actually live free? Because free people get to rest. Jesus, when you read in the Gospels about the people that he encountered in the different towns that he walked in, oftentimes you may be like, man, how did he even have a moment to breathe? Because one person, something awesome happens and they're like, boo! I got to tell everyone, which is incredible and great. But you read some stories where the crowds are literally pushing around. Like you think about the woman who just barely like grabs the tail of his outfit. And he's like, power went out from me. And his disciples are like, you're crazy, man. Do you see how many people are surrounding you? But Jesus notices. People are constantly around him. But the one thing that the Gospels all constantly say about him is that he withdrew to lonely places. And it's usually followed up, he withdrew to lonely places to pray. So he would leave the crowds, the people that he came to reveal himself to, that he came to heal and perform miracles and teach truth and correct mistruths. He would leave and be silent and be in solitude with the Father praying. And Jesus lived a free life in doing that. So what if there is a better way than constantly working, constantly being nervous and anxious about all that's on the docket to get done by midnight tonight? What if there is a way to live free? And what if we've already been talking about what it is? What if it is actually participating in this day where we get to sit in the presence of God and let him bring restoration and delight to our souls? Like, what if the command to keep the Sabbath, to observe it and make it holy, make it look different than the other 6 days of the week, is the way that we live freely? Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. So John Mark Comer is a pastor, well, an ex-pastor in Portland, Oregon. And a lot of his thought is what pushed Tyler and I to talk about this on Wednesday nights. And he kind of has this frame. And if you were with us during the beginning of COVID when we were not able to meet, he has this framework for what Sabbath can look like, what this rhythm that really yields freedom, hopefully, can look like. And he divides it like this: stop, stop working, stop ceasing, stop thinking about working, stop worrying, and just be still. And then the second is delight. Because this is what I don't want you to think about Sabbath. I don't want you to think you just go and you like twiddle your thumbs for 24 hours and you're like, can't wait until Sunday or Monday. But Sabbath is where you get to delight. The world says all of these things are going to bring you life and life to the full. But scripture says that Jesus is the one that brings life to the full. And so there is delight in Sabbath. There is delight in practicing this rhythm. Delight in creativity. If you are creative, delight in creativity. If you're not creative, delight in nature. Take a walk. Get outside. Get away from phones and tablets and screens and this fake world that throws all these ideas about how you're supposed to look and what you're supposed to buy and what car you should drive at you. Delight in friendship. God is a God of community. Delight in those friends where you can just sit and you don't feel like you have to strive and like pull teeth to have a conversation, but you just get each other and you enjoy each other's company. Stop, delight, worship. The whole point of Sabbath, when you look at it in the scheme of the Ten Commandments, is it's all coming after. This is how you can live a good and prosperous life in community with God. And because we are free people, we get to worship. And we are only free people because of what God did on our behalf. And so the one who allows us to be free invites us freely into this invitation to rest. And so on Sabbath, we get to worship him. by removing all distraction and by reminding ourselves of who we are and who he is. And then we get to rest, like literally take a nap and let your mind and your emotions and your physical body just rest from the constant work and movement you've done all week. Free people get to rest, and we are free because of Christ, his first invitation to a life of freedom away from slavery, and the second invitation to practice this rhythm that yields freedom in your life. So later tonight, you guys are going to get to practice a little bit of quiet in a way, and your leaders will get those sheets later. But I want you to think in the scheme of those, of what do I need to stop thinking about? What do I need to stop obsessing about? And how can I delight and worship in the freedom that Christ has offered me? I'm going to pray for you guys as we continue to worship this evening. Father, thank you for being present. And thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us. Jesus, we, and myself mostly, repent when I think of you as not the most intelligent person, and I think that the world or even the things that I can conjure up in my own mind are more important and better than what you would say is best for me. And I pray that you would help us as we seek to look different from the world around us, and as we seek to live out of a place of abundance and life that is found only in you. I pray that you would reorder our desires, God, that we would know how loved we are by you, that in turn our desires would all fall under the category of loving you first and foremost in our lives. And God, I ask that you, even in this moment, as we continue to sing truths about you, as we read scripture, that you would even show the fruit of time spent with you, that it would be good and nourishing for our souls, that we would feel the peace and joy that comes from being in step with the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show us what it would look like for us to enter in to an invitation of discipline. God, we love you, and we thank you that you are near to us and that you love us. And it's in your name that I pray these things. Amen.
Thanks again for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. We hope that this teaching is helping you discover completeness in Jesus and encourages you to help others do the same. If you're interested in learning more about Christ Church, visit us online at cco.church.